Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. It is good to be back. Been gone a couple weeks, and I want to give a shout out to Pastor Chad and Pastor Danny for doing a great job while I was gone. And I want you all to know that we really suffered while we were gone. We were up in North Carolina, and a couple days ago, we were sitting on a deck in our backyard, and it was 72 degrees. And then another day, it was 67 degrees. And I was thinking about y'all and just praying for you. Praying I'd get to stay a little longer, but it had to come home. Anyway, it was great. But it was beautiful up there. And then as we came down 75, you could just see the temperature getting warmer and warmer and warmer as we got close to home. But anyway, it's good to be back. And we're in this sermon series called God of the Possible. And we have been looking at the miracles of Christ, some of the miracles of Christ, looking at some lessons that we can take from some of the circumstances surrounding these encounters with God, where God did just God stuff, things that people couldn't do, supernatural things. And he worked in supernatural ways. And today we're going to continue in that vein. We're going to be looking at a wedding that Jesus goes to today. It's found in the book of John, if you've got your Bibles with you, John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it's a wedding in Cana where Jesus goes to a wedding. And during the course of the wedding, they run out of wine at the wedding. And then Jesus performs a miracle where he turns water into wine. And in the context of this entire story, there's some great lessons for you and me. Now, I've sort of framed everything in the context of dealing with a crisis in your life. But really, you can use this in a lot of different ways, because as you're going to see, if you'll do the things we're going to talk about today and the things that we see that happened in this story, it can just help you in life, in general, as you deal with life on a day-by-day basis. Listen, if you apply these things to your marriage, it will help your marriage or your finances or your business or whatever it is. You're going to see some things that we need to do. But because in this particular situation, in the passage, a crisis developed. They ran out of wine. This was a big deal. The groom, they could really gotten in trouble for this. It would have been a huge embarrassment to his family. There literally could be legal ramifications. There could be lawsuits brought against, in that culture, against them for this situation. So a crisis came about. So I'm going to be talking about dealing with a crisis today. How do you deal with a crisis in your life? When stuff comes at you that you don't expect. Have you ever had anything come to you that you didn't expect? Okay, everyone here should have just fallen out of their chairs and just started screaming and yelling amen or something. I mean, all of us have stuff, don't we? I mean, things happen and come at you that you do not expect. How should we deal with that? Where should our hearts be? Where should our lives be? What does God have to say about that? Is there some way that I should handle it? Well, I think we can take all of those things from this story today. So we're at this wedding. There is a moment of panic. They run out of wine in the wedding. Now weddings are, you know how weddings are. Weddings are interesting because people get really overly sensitive at weddings, especially brides. But they get, grooms don't really care about the whole thing, but brides get all excited about the wedding and they get overly sensitive. And if something goes wrong or a little, you know, amiss, they get all excited. I was at a wedding one time. I was officiating this wedding one time. And so I was going through and we were in a yard of, it was in back of some people's house in a real beautiful setting. And we were back there and doing it and everything was going great. And I got to the part of the sermon or the service where I needed the rings. And I turned to the best man and I held out my hand and that was his cue, put the rings in my hand. And I did this and he did this. And it was apparent that no one had the rings. And so all of a sudden, no one knew what to do. So I looked over at the little orchestra thing and I went, you know, kick up the music. So they kicked up the music and this guy goes running around this house and goes inside to around and all where he changed clothes to find the rings. And finally he comes back. Everybody was in a panic. I mean, everything was in a panic. But now, years later, I've talked to these, actually a family member, and I've talked to them. And now it's a fun thing that happened. But at the moment, something goes wrong in a wedding. It's crazy. Well, this something went really wrong. They ran out of wine. So what happens in this situation? They've got a crisis. How do you deal with a crisis? Well, in dealing with a crisis, you need to do a few things. And number one thing I want you to see as we look at our passage today is that in any time you're dealing with a crisis, you need to make sure that you invite Jesus into your everyday life. That when you enter into a crisis, that Jesus just needs to be part of your life. Look at John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus has been invited to a wedding. Now, so often when we think of Jesus, obviously we know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's God incarnate, God in the flesh. And we understand his deity and his holiness and all that he is. But remember, Jesus was fully God and he was fully man. So Jesus was, let's just say this was the beginning of his ministry. He's 33 years old, 32, 33 years old, and this has all taken place. He is a 32, 33-year-old young man that lives in a community that he has just grown up there. No one has ever seen him do a miracle before. This is the very first miracle that he ever did. So he's just been invited to a wedding like any other 32-year-old young man. He's gone to the wedding of a friend, and he's there in this situation, and he's just part of everyday life. He's just a guy that's there. Everybody else is looking at him. They're thinking he's just this guy that's there. A few people have kind of started following him, and they know some things about him. But a lot of people just like, hey, there's Jesus. We've seen Jesus around. You know, we know who he is. And so he's at this wedding, and problem arises, and he does something miraculous. But the thing I want you to take away from this first little part of this, that it says Jesus, on verse 2, Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Here's the thing I want you to think about your life, okay? As you are going through life, stuff is going to happen to you. You're going to be faced with some crises in your life. There are going to be things that happen, stuff that happens that you don't expect, that you don't even want to happen. But it's going to happen. But here's what you need to understand. You need to make absolutely sure that Jesus Christ is part of your life day in and day out before the crisis gets there. You don't need to wait till the crisis comes. It's kind of like Florida and having a generator that's in your garage that's been there for 3 years, and then a hurricane shows up and you run out after the hurricane because you don't have electricity and go, uh-oh, the generator doesn't work. Get the thing fixed now. Don't wait till the hurricane to get the generator out. You don't wait for the crisis and pull Jesus out of your pocket. You have a relationship with Jesus, and you nurture that relationship, and you grow deeper in that relationship, and you put your trust and your faith and your hope in Jesus so that when a crisis comes, you already got that relationship with Jesus. It's natural to go to Jesus, right? So we need to make sure that we invite Jesus into our situation. He was invited to the wedding. You need to invite him into your situation, into your life, so that he's an everyday of your life. He's a part of your everyday life. If there had been no Jesus, there would have been no miracle in this story. And in your story, if there is no Jesus, there's not going to be a miracle. You need Jesus in your situation. He needs to be part of your everyday life. So that's the first thing that I want you to take away. Jesus was invited to the wedding. Has he been invited to your life? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is he invited into your life? Do you study his word? Do you pray? Are you involved with other believers, maybe in a small group or something where this is just a part of your life so that when things come into your life, Jesus is there and you have a relationship with him? The second thing that we see in the story is that now Jesus is there and a crisis arises, and Jesus now is invited into the situation. He's not just there, he's been invited into it. Now he's been told about the crisis. They bring the crisis to Jesus. In verse 3, it says, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, she's speaking to Jesus, she said, we have a problem. They have no more wine. This is a bad deal. Now, remember what I said earlier, this is an issue that could cause problems for the groom's family. This could be a big embarrassment for his family. Even lawsuit could be brought against them for this, of serious business in that culture, in for weddings and those kind of things. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, noticed this was taking place, and she brings the situation to Jesus. And the lesson for you and for me there is that when we're faced with a crisis in our lives, the first place that we should go is to Jesus. When you're faced with something in life, when life throws something at you that you don't expect, when something comes up, or even maybe you sort of expected it, but when things come into your life, the first place that you should go, the very first thing you should do is go to Jesus. So often we don't do that. We sort of panic. And all of a sudden we start relying on all kind of other resources and our own strength. And instead of that, we should go to Jesus. Immediately, we should take it to Jesus. A great verse of scripture that I love, Matthew 6:33, says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. It's talking about life. The first thing as believers and followers of Christ that we should do is we should have Christ in our lives. He should always be part of our lives, as we said earlier. And when something comes into our life, we should immediately go to Jesus. We shouldn't go to Uncle Fred. We shouldn't go to mama. We shouldn't go to our granddaddy. We should go to Jesus first. Now, I'm not saying you don't go to those people, but you go to Jesus first. You know, I always get tickled when I'll hear people will be in a crisis in their life or something will be going on, and they'll just be all beat down because of this, and they've been going through it, and I'll talk to them about it. They'll come in to see me, and they'll go, I just don't know what else we can do. I guess all that's left to do is pray. What? That's the first thing you should have done. What do you mean all that's left is to pray? The first thing you do is you go to Jesus. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But we find ourselves in a panic. But listen to this, Isaiah 41:10. Now this is out of the Message, which is not a translation of the Bible, but it's a paraphrase of the Bible. But this says this well, and it matches some scripture, so I'm gonna use this. It says, don't panic. Jesus, this is God. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. I'll keep a firm grip on you. That's what God wants you to know, that you don't have to panic. You go to him. You run to God first with your situation. That's what they did in this wedding. They said, look, we got a problem. There is no more wine. So Mary goes to Jesus. She goes, Jesus, we got a problem. There is no more wine. So we bring the crisis to Jesus. But even though we're trusting him, and even though we're putting our faith and trust in him, and we're bringing it to Jesus, and we want Jesus to step in, and we want God to be involved in what's going on, and we want him to do supernatural stuff and do those God things that only he can do and help us out in our situations and circumstances that we face, we can't just be complacent in all of this. When we bring something to Jesus, we still have to put forth an effort to do the humanly possible things to make it better, right? That's the third thing I want you to see, is we need to give Jesus what we have. Look what it says. It says in verse 6, now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Now we know that Jesus said, go get those stone jars. We're gonna see that in just a moment. But the point that I want you to see here is that there was no more wine. They had run out of wine. This was a really big deal. But the only thing they had is they had these stone jars full of water that were sitting there that the Jews used for purification rites. So when the Jewish people, so that they weren't defiled and weren't considered unclean, when they would come into the wedding ceremony, they would wash their hands and their feet with this water out of these jars. And also the only resources they really had there were these water jars. But it says, now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish rites purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And so over in the corner, they have these jars, but they brought those jars to Jesus. And so the point here for you and me is that they did something. They used the resources they had to help the situation, although they didn't know that he was going to turn it into wine because he had never done a miracle yet, and they didn't know that was going to happen. But they had some resources, and Jesus said, there's some resources, get those resources. So they get the resources. Here's what I want you to take away from this. When you're faced with something in your life, don't just say, okay, God, I need some help, and then fold your arms and sit back and say, okay, I'm waiting on God to do something. I don't like that this expression at all. Now, I get it. I know where it comes from, and I know what's intended by its meaning. So, and I'm probably gonna get emails. Just don't even bother sending them because I'm not gonna respond, okay? So but here's the deal. I cannot stand the phrase, let go and let God. This is what it ought to be. Get busy and let God. Get busy. People think, well, I'll just say a prayer, fold my arms, and sit back and see what God does. No. What resources do you have? You can pray. You can get into God's word, depending on the situation. Do you have something you can bring to bear? You can pray. You do everything humanly possible to take care of your situation while asking God to do the God possible stuff. Okay? You can't just sit back and be a spiritual couch potato and just expect God to do everything for you. He gave you a brain. He gave you the ability to do things. He wants you to get out there and do everything you can do as you're consulting him and praying and looking in his word to seeing what you might be able to do, but you do everything humanly possible. You know, let me just give you an example. If you're really ill and you're praying for healing and you want God to heal you, you know, I'm just telling you, I'm not one of those people that just go, well, let's just pray for God to heal you. Now let's just go home and see if God will heal me. Go to the doctor. Do everything humanly possible. You know, it's okay to take the treatment, to do what you need to do, and trust and do everything humanly possible, but ask God to do what only God can do. Right? So you need to bring your crisis to Jesus. You need to give him what you have. And then listen here, this makes pretty good sense. It just follows. But you need to follow his instructions. Then follow Jesus' instructions. It says in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, this is great, just do whatever he tells you to do. In verse 7 and 8, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. They'd been used, people had washed their hands and feet, so there was some water gone. He goes, fill them up. They filled them up to the brim, it says. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. And so they took it. Now remember, these guys don't know what's about to happen. They don't know what Jesus is doing. They don't know the water's gonna turn into wine. They've never seen Jesus do a miracle. He's never performed a miracle yet. This is his first miracle. So they've not seen that, but they just know that he's a teacher, that he's respected. There are some people following him and that. And she went to Jesus and Jesus said, here's what you need to do. And they followed his instructions. And here's the part that I want you to listen to carefully. They followed his instructions even though it didn't make sense and they didn't get it. So often we're so rational, right? We want it to make sense. But some of the biggest things God will do in your life will not make any sense. You want to see God show up? Just trust him to do stuff that doesn't make any sense. And God will use it and do incredible things. And so they did exactly what he said to do. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to have faith. But we have a tendency to become very impatient when we're wanting something done and trying to do it ourselves. We try to make things happen sometimes instead of waiting on God. And we always get in trouble when we do that because God's outcome is going to be better than your outcome. And so we need to understand that. So we need to invite Jesus into our life. We need to bring whatever our situation is to Jesus. We need to give Jesus whatever we have, our resources, our times, our talents, all that we can bring to bear on the situation. Then we need to follow his instructions. And then we get to reap the rewards. Listen to this, verse 9 and 10. When the master of the feast tasted the water that had now become wine and did not know where it came from, though, in parentheses in the ESV, it says, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. These guys are probably freaking out right now. Because they said, look, I just filled that thing up with water, and I just took it over there. It's got wine in that. Do you see what he did? His first miracle, can you imagine? It's probably rumbling, starting to go through the crowd. But the master of the feast did not know what had happened. But he called the bridegroom over and he said, everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. So this was incredible wine compared to what they had already had at this wedding. And so the end of the story, the results are a miracle. That Jesus does this incredible thing. So they get to reap the rewards. They get the blessings of what Jesus did and only Jesus could do. Think about it. Jesus had to be invited into the situation or this miracle wouldn't have taken place. They had to bring the crisis to Jesus. They had to give Jesus what they had and they had to follow his instructions. And when they did all of those things, then Jesus did Jesus stuff. God showed up. He turned the water into wine. They reaped the benefits. They got a blessing. It's the same way in your life and my life. You see, when we invite Jesus into the situation like this, when we ask him and to come into our lives and we make him part of our everyday life, when whatever we're facing, we don't get all panicky and anxious and all, we just trust in him and go to him first and bring it to him. And then we try our best through prayer and God's word and using other fellow believers, speaking into our lives and praying for us and with us and those kind of things and using the resources that we have. And we begin to follow Jesus' instructions. Then God says, you're trusting me, and he shows up and he does God stuff in our lives. And that's exactly what happened here. And then there's one more part to all of this. It sort of puts a cap on the end of this. And it's this. All of this requires faith. And this grows our faith. And that's the thing that I want you to see. When we handle situations in life this way, it grows our faith. It says in verse 11, this, talking about this miracle, the first of his signs, this was his first miracle, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now here's the takeaway from this. When you live your life this way and you invite Jesus into the situation and you bring things that come into your life to him and you do what, you know, whatever you can do, you do all these things that we've talked about today and you trust him and then you see him work, he works. Let me tell you what that does for you. It deepens your faith. Because when you see God do what only God can do, it changes you, right? I bet you there are people in this room right now that you have seen God do stuff. You've prayed about something. You've invited him into the situation. You've brought it to him. You've done what you can do. All those kind of things we talked about today. And God showed up and he did something that is unexplainable, that you can't explain outside just simply saying God did that. I bet there's people right here, right? Some of you right here in this room have experienced those things in your life. I know I've experienced them in mine before. And there are incredible things that happen in your life because when you see God work in your life, let me tell you what it does. It gives you confidence the next time you face something difficult. You know God's got your back. You know that God is there for you, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that if you will follow his guidelines, if you will put him first, and you won't rely on your own resources, and you will do everything in your power, but you'll trust him for the supernatural. When you trust him that way and he shows up, it builds your faith. Nancy, my wife, years ago, there was back when we were, before I ever went away to seminary, in our church, there was a song that everybody used to request that she sing all the time. And this was back in the days when you didn't have, like, you sang by, remember you had cassette tapes and a boombox. You remember that? We would go travel around when I was in seminary and preach at churches, and Nancy would take that little tape with her. The song was called He'll Do It Again. And it talked about how that when you're going through life, that you look back at the things that God has done in your life and how he's brought you through this, over that, under that, around that, how he showed up and he's done supernatural, and you can trust him that he'll do it again. And it was an encouraging song. But you know, we forget what God has already done. We're just like the Israelites. Remember the Israelites? Remember God sends Moses into Egypt and he goes in there and he brings all these plagues. He goes to Pharaoh and says, you're going to have all these plagues. And then they leave and he parts the Red Sea and they walk through the Red Sea and they get just a little ways outside of that. They already forgot all the things that God done. They're trying to do stupid stuff on their own. We do the same thing. But listen, if you will think about the things that God has done, if you will handle your life the way we've talked about and you will see God work in your life and you'll hold on to those times when he works in your life, I'll guarantee you there'll be another time that's coming when you're going to need to go back and say, you know what, he did it one time, he can do it again. Amen. You're going to need that, right? We all need that. And that's what this miracle story is all about. We can have confidence in God, and our faith can be increased in God because of what he's done. But in order for that to happen, we have to invite Jesus into our life. We have to bring whatever situations to Jesus and not try to wrestle it ourselves and handle it ourselves. We got to give Jesus our resources and work really hard at trying to make the situation better while relying and trusting on him, following his instructions from his word and from prayer and from other believers who are speaking into our lives. And then when we do that, we reap the rewards. And when we reap the rewards and we see God work, our faith is increased and we become a deeper, more mature disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what happens. So I want to encourage you today to do that. I want to encourage you today to put these things in place. This is an incredible story where we can see that it's almost like a little list. It's almost like a formula for living life in a way that will please God, and we can see God work in our life. It's an incredible miracle story. But did you notice that at the very beginning of the story, the first thing that we see is that Jesus had to be invited to the wedding. If there had been no Jesus, there would have been no miracle. Let me tell you something. In your life, it begins with you inviting Jesus Christ into your life. It begins with you making him Lord and Savior of your life. It begins with you having a relationship with him and being in his word and being a person of prayer and being a person who's involved with other believers so they can speak into your life and you can speak into their life. It involves coming to church where you can worship corporately and we can give glory to God as a body of Christ. All those things, working, making God part of your life so that he's there, so that when these things come into your life, he's there. It's a natural response to go to him. Maybe you're here today and you can't do these things because these things, you're saying they're all great, but I can't really do them because I don't have a relationship with Jesus. He's never been invited to the wedding. Well, maybe you need to invite him to the wedding today. The Bible tells us that if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and if we will believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we can be saved, we can have a relationship with Jesus, then Jesus, we invite him, his very presence, his Holy Spirit comes and indwells us and lives with us. So now we have him there. Now we can bring the crisis to him. Now all these things we talked about are possible for us. And maybe you're here today and you need to make that step to place your faith and trust in Jesus. It begins with a prayer. A prayer asking him to forgive you of your sins, a commitment of your life to following him. And if you're here today and you don't know how that works, then I'll pray and you can follow along. My prayer is not magic, it's your prayer. But pray with me. Just close your eyes right now and just pray. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. God, I need you in my life. I need to be forgiven of my sins. And so I'm asking you right now to forgive me of my sins. I'm inviting you into my life. And I'm committing my life to following you. So in the best way that I understand all of this right now, the best way that I know how, with the knowledge that I have, I'm giving my life to you. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm committing myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, we have the promise of Scripture that God will honor his word and he will save you. And if you made that decision today, in a few moments, we're going to be standing up to sing another song. And as we do, I would invite you to slip out and go to the back. We have people with lanyards on that say prayer, and they will answer your questions and talk to you and all those kind of things. Maybe you're here today and you are a believer, but the fact of the matter is, as you look down this little list today, you go, well, that's not the way I handle the crises in my life. When stuff comes into my life, I kind of wrestle it myself. I'm full of anxiety and stress, and I'm just about burned out on life because I've got so much stuff going on, and I've never really given it to Jesus. I've never really invited him into the situation. I'm not doing really anything. I'm just kind of puzzled and messed up about all of this, and I need some help. Maybe you've recognized today that this is the way you need to handle it. Maybe you need to talk to someone. Maybe you need to come and put a prayer request on the cross, or maybe you just need to come down here and kneel down at the stage and pray. You know, I watch online when I'm not here, and I was seeing Pastor Danny the other day. I know that he invited everybody to come down, and you know, we don't do that enough, and we should. We should do it every single Sunday, invite people to come down to pray. Now, why is that important? Let me just tell you why it's important. Because sometimes you need to know that on this date, at this time, at those steps, right there in Heartland, I gave it to Jesus. And maybe you need to come down with your family and pray. Maybe you need to come down and pray. Somebody to pray with you. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe you need to prepare a request on the cross. You do whatever God leads you to do. And if you'll do that, it'll all be good. Would you stand with us now as we continue to worship?